Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
Welcome to Open Moves. We have a returning champion, Joan of Angels here, who, I mean, you're on everything, right? I mean, Atlan Steinfeld Channel New Realities. I see you on Watchers Talk all the time. I see you on Portal to Ascension, pretty much every conference. I mean, you are a what do you think it is? Why are you, what is this draw to you, do you think? What do you feel? I mean, are you even aware of the love? Because it sounds like you weren't a second ago. I mean, what's your take?
Oh, what a question. You start right off with the best of the questions.
So, have to.
Guys, I have been in the desert for 7 years. I didn't even leave my house very often. I rarely had company. Neil would come periodically, but I have been on a sacred journey of transformation and learning who Joan of Angels is and connecting with Joan of Arc. Learning that I've had memories as the high priestess in Atlantis and in Egypt. So I've been in a cocoon for those 7 years in the sacred journey of my own until my guides told me it was time for me to come out into the world as the kind of the conduit of Joan of Arc, who's so needed right now, that energy. And as these memories of ancient Atlantis and Egypt are coming through for all of us in humanity. So what you're seeing is that Joan of Arc energy, that Joan of Angels energy going around the world to help uplift, inspire, heal, grant courage to, and free the people of Earth. We're here for healing the people of Earth and freeing the people of Earth from their 3D reality, from the hardships of living on this planet, especially now. Because I will say, as the ancient ones, as we are above looking down, Earth is a little shitshow, okay? And the guides are watching this and sending their angels into human forms to help us remember how powerful we as individuals can be. And that's my job here on the planet. And so I had a 7-year cocoon, and now of course I'm everywhere. You can't keep a good angel down, number one, but we're calling the angelic realms, we're calling our tribe to wake up, to restore your memories, to help heal the planet of Earth. Our home needs help. And so I'm here holding that frequency.
Wait a minute. So you really, you mentioned a lot of people there who are Joan of Arc being the archetypal one. I mean, is it, who are you composed of right now? Who are you actually made up of? Like, is it when you say past lives,
I'm an ancient one, Greg. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I want to know. You're an ancient one. What does that mean?
The answer came. I'm an ancient one who's been sent down here to be a guide, to free humanity, and to heal humanity so that we can finally come together as one, not just on the ascension planet, but to have the life and the planet we know we can have. And if you look around, the times are the same. Like, the ancient Joan of Arcs are being activated because what did they do? They represented freeing humanity, freeing the country of France, the courage of even one person standing for true freedom. So I'm here now because this is the time for which we've all been called. And that's why I am here. I'm a conglomerate of all of this, but holding those ancient frequencies.
Wow.
And just learning them myself too.
That is the one time you'll ever hear Joan of Angels use the word conglomerate in any context when it's in the spiritual realm. But that said, I don't know. I mean, Joan, if you were to pivot to being, you know, all of a sudden one of the Shark Tank venture capitalists, I think you do a good job. Not that capitalism's your bag, but I think you've got entrepreneurialism in you. But what do you think? Is that drive to be a brand? I mean, I guess that is kind of my question for you. Joan of Angels, being a representative, how do you become a leader without necessarily getting stuck in the realm of ego?
Oh my goodness. So that was one of my falls several lifetimes ago. Just to let you know, it turns out that I had been a very high Brahmin in India.
Right.
Probably it was my last lifetime, and my ego took over. And at some point, I must have had such a high egoic that I literally woke up in this vision that I was having. The angels were standing there, and they said that they were members of the invisible tribe, or they were talking about me. They said, she's a member of the invisible tribe. And then they said, she's about to awake. And I awoke as an untouchable in India who had lost everything. I think I instantly died and was born again as an old lady in India, an untouchable. And I had a tin can or a tin plate with one tarot card and a coin. And I was running, and people were walking over me. I didn't even exist. And I was running towards them saying, don't you know who I am? Mm. And so for the last few lifetimes, I have struggled to return to grace. And I was told several years ago that I have returned to grace because they're coming back to me. Now, this life, I was a chiropractor. You talk about entrepreneurial. I was very successful as a chiropractor.
Yeah, right. I recall that.
And I am a medical medium of types. I really help people heal their body, mind, and spirit. But so I'm a spiritual doctor in those realms. But I had an ego problem. And that's, say, because you asked. And so many spiritual teachers get that. It's like suddenly it's like, look at me, how good I am, or look
right.
at me, how successful I am.
Right.
And because I had that ego problem, Spirit sent a creep into my life to make sure I had a fall. Okay? And it happened. And I lost everything this life. And when I lost everything, it's kind of interesting. I actually won a huge multi-million dollar award, which is another story, but my guides told me that I would lose it all again a second time until I was aligned body, mind, and spirit with what I came here to do. Hmm. Now, when you align that, there's very narrow room for fall, you know, for falling. And so since really 2006, when they told me I'd lose all again, I have known that I would be restored when I got through. I had to lose everything again because my ego was still not trained enough. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. And then what happened?
Well, and so just so you know, the higher we go spiritually, the less choices we have.
Mm.
Okay. The less choices. And if you look around at so-called spiritual teachers now, I had a spiritual teacher in LA who ultimately was called out for sodomizing his team, his spiritual team. And actually telling them that they would not get to heaven if they didn't have sex with him, use drugs with him, etc., etc. And since then, many spiritual teachers have been called out for abusing.
Yes.
And so it's a common test for, it's a common test, and it's so common. And so I am so grateful that I've been able to recover. And as I said, 7 years in almost isolation in the desert is really what it has taken me to be able to come out again and know that it's not my ego. And 2 years ago, they said to me, if I don't do what I came here to do, I wouldn't be the only Joan of Angels on the planet. That was another motivation.
Wait, what's the fear there? If you weren't, I mean, well, okay.
Well, they said to me, look, Joan, you're telling everyone you're the only Joan of Angels. Because if you put in Joan of Angels, I'm the only one who comes up. They said, you're telling everyone you're the only Joan of Angels. But if you don't do what you committed to and what you've agreed to, someone else can do it. And when they told me that, it was like I wanted to die. It was like, holy moly. And that shifted everything. That was in 2020.
Now, wait a minute. What would be so wrong? I mean, why is it just, and I want to understand spiritually kind of the principle going on here. Is it that, why couldn't there be two, I guess, is my question. That seems kind of weird.
Oh, there
to
could
me.
Be. There could be many. There's many aspects of Joan of Arc. I would bet if we put out a call of who feels they're related to the Joan of Arc energy, we'd have many.
Yeah.
Okay, we'd have many. So that's not the issue. The issue really was, well, I was kind of egoic about, look, I'm the only Joan of Angels. But they reminded me, I want to remind our listeners, you all came for a mission. You have two choices. You say yes, or you say not this lifetime, or not now, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
But when you say you're ready, you're making a sacred commitment to live that and fulfill that destiny. And I was not, you know, I had still had work to do to live and fulfill that potential.
That's interesting. It makes me want to question these angels in some ways, or at least but in the sense that I would maybe say, well, you're using egoic tactics, you're appealing to my ego by saying, you, if you don't do this now, somebody else is going to take it over. And I would kind of want to ninja response that and say, well, I surrender, I will do this mission, but I will surrender the title if somebody else can bring the mission forward more than me. And then I feel like they'd be like, oh, that Joan, she gave us a clever answer back. That's a good response. That's the more spiritual. You are indeed the Joan of Angels. Like, that's sort of what I'm thinking. I feel like they were, you know, I feel like they were trying to bribe you a little bit. I think they were negotiating with you in a way.
I don't think so.
You know, now why not? Why?
Because they were telling, they were laying it. Okay, because there were other times in this life I've had on Earth where I wasn't ready, and I said no, or I you know, put my hand up. I was told, I don't know, in 2012 that I was meant to be famous, but I had blown it this life.
Yeah,
and I had blown it, and I could because I went off my path, and so they were reminding me. Gently reminding me that I had chosen this path. And should I say yes, you know, to my path, all will unfold in that state of where I've committed to go, which is where I want to go.
Yeah.
When they reminded me, Greg, it was just in the middle of the pandemic. I didn't know whether I should fall apart, be a leader. You know, I was like struggling with the leader in me versus the one who wanted to say, oh my God, what's happening? My human self. And it was like a little angel slap. It's like, Joan, you didn't really wake. You didn't come here to be in that prey. You came here to be a leader. And are you ready to claim it? And man, Greg, I am ready to claim it. I am claiming who I am because the earth needs me.
So, earth, angels give ultimatums is what we're learning today.
No, angels gently remind you of your
Okay.
commitment.
Gently remind you with angel slaps.
The little angel taps, to gently remind you that you came here for a purpose. They know your soul purpose. You know your soul purpose, and they're here to help you. And they
Yes.
also will step back if you're not ready. So I knew the day I said yes to painting the angels was because I knew my path laid in saying yes. Yes to the commitment I've made. Greg, I
Yeah.
would rather say yes to this commitment I've made than do anything else on the planet.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, as you get this message from the angels in 2020, are you even aware? Because I would say that being a spiritual doctor, being a chiropractor already is for a lot of people, though, I love chiropractors, though. They really do have a nice way of signing you up for the next session right at the end, don't they? Every single day. Oh, when's next week? When's next week's appointment? Look, just throw that out there. Look, I love chiropractors, but here's what I would say. What was the calling then? Because I remember the paintings, right? We talked a lot about this, Joan. We talked about how you were called to do these paintings. And then I remember last interview, we talked about how you were very much called at that time to be broadcasting more. And as we discussed at the beginning, you have been. You've been putting yourself out there. But I guess I'm wondering, you probably are already doing enough healing work through chiropractic or doing chiropractic practice. So my question is, when they slap you and say you're here to do something else, what are you even conceiving that you're supposed to be doing at this time? Do they give you any sort of direction?
I'm here healing the people of Earth slash freeing the people of Earth. And that's why I'm here.
That's what they give you.
I
That's what they say
know
you're supposed to do that.
that I am supposed to be doing this. I am doing this. I haven't actively practiced chiropractic for many years.
Right.
That was one-on-one, and I am one on the many. Okay, so I help people individually and collectively. I coach people how to step into your own sovereignty, your own power, so you can remember who you really are. So I am fully engaged in
Yeah.
awakening.
So did you
So,
know that that was, did that have to come to you over time, or did you have the tools, or did you actively seek for yourself ways that you could awaken others?
I said yes and I said no at the same time to my calling. They told me at the age of 30, I was shown a vision of a grand goddess who came from these realms, and she was behind me. We were in the Colosseum, millions of people coming by on crutches, wheelchairs, crawling. And as we waved our wand, they dropped crutches, dropped the wheelchairs, and they were healed. And this goddess angel said, "This is your mission. To heal and inspire humanity, to help them awaken." So they told me at 30, I'm not going to tell you how many years it's taken me to get to this point of many years later, actually being able to fully say yes and to choose and start to discern what that path looks like. Just because like Greg, you might know, in your heart that I'm here to do this, but honestly, if the football game's there or the beer's there or whatever, that may or may not, be what you're going to choose to do today.
Yeah.
So that's all I could say is that when we say yes to the voice of spirit, then we've aligned and they'll show us the next step. And that is the journey I'm on.
Very interesting. I want to know more about the voice of spirit. Is it something that, I mean, is it you can distinguish between, your intuition and the voice of something else? I mean, where do you pick this up regularly? Is it throughout your day? Are there times where you're meditating and all of a sudden you get wisdom? Like, how does spirit show up in that way in your life?
Okay, so at the risk of sounding weird, I've had voices my entire life. Okay? I didn't know they were voices. I'm also clairsentient, so I know, but I'm clairaudient, and several times I actually heard the voice. So I was in a spiritual group. I was told to, join it. I heard that. But I went to a session one night, a group session, and I said, what am I supposed to do with my life? And I heard a voice that said, go to chiropractic school. Okay. Literally. And the next day I enrolled and I got home and there was a check for $854 for my grandfather's estate. He had left it to me, which was the exact amount of the tuition. So voices with the confirmation taught me that I can listen to this guidance. It's a knowing, Greg. I usually feel it on my right ear. Sometimes if it's a group, it comes directly from here. But I'm told or I'm guided. I can hear it in meditation. I could hear it in the shower. Showers are great for getting messages.
Yeah.
How do you hear it? I'm sure you hear guidance.
Well, I mean, I probably do, but I deny that it's something special. I mean, that's kind of my way. This is the path. I mean, you know, I bring people like you on who are at a different realm of existence than I suppose I'm consciously giving myself credit for experiencing and wondering, can I bridge the steps from assuming that Earth is it's a natural but mysterious place to, so I'm not like just completely going, it's a material reality, it's empirical. I'm saying there is possibility, but the question then becomes, well, how do I get from believing that this world has possibility to that there is a higher spiritual essence at work, that there are these guides. I mean, Joan, look, I've had people on that tell me, yeah, I see this spirit guide over here. I see you got a redheaded, mountain kind of guy by your side. And I'm going, I've never seen these people in my life. Let me ask you right now, are you picking up on any spirit guides near me?
Do I see that gray redheaded Indian native? Oh my God. Okay. I do see that you had some kind of Scottish lifetimes.
Oh, that's interesting. You know. I was there this summer. I love Scotland. Loved it.
I can see that. I see that Scottish essence. You know, but Craig, first of all, you know, when we ask for divine assistance, we get it. So we have to be ready. But you know, sometimes it takes complete devastation in your life. For me, I had to lose everything twice before my thick brain got that message, okay? Lose everything twice. Other times you get it when you know, like you get older and you go, there's something missing, you know, something missing. And so when that something missing is, then people start to get a yearning for something more. I didn't get connected, and you know, these angels really in 2000, it wasn't until 2013 that they told me to paint.
Yeah.
So it's a journey. You are on a journey, and you will, what you have codes, everyone has codes that we inserted before we got here that are designed to be activated. Now, I might come along and invite you on this journey, but you have the choice of saying yes or no. They know there's no shame. No one's going to come and say, bad boy. They may wait till the next lifetime, or maybe it'll come around this lifetime. When this clairvoyant palm reader said to me, well, you blew it, he said those words, you blew it. And I must have looked crestfallen, because then he said, well, don't worry, Joan. It will come around again, but it will be different. It will be different. And he's right, because what I'm realizing is that, so I won a major award, a major insurance case in 2005. I got a huge chunk of money, okay? The guides told me that I would lose it all again. And they said, you will not reclaim your fortune or money until you are aligned body, mind, and spirit. And then I had to learn what that was about. Now I can tell you that what you're experiencing, the fact that I'm worldwide, is that alignment that I've chosen to step on, which I could tell you is a glorious path. When you say no, by the way, you have resistance, and sometimes things don't work right. Saying yes is the easiest path.
That's interesting.
Just because when you say yes, they make it easy. It's like synchronicities happen. You meet the people you're supposed to meet. You find it easier. It's like being riding a miracle wave or, you know, surfer wave. It's like you don't have to do much, but just do it.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that word easy recently. I think it is it's an undervalued word. I mean, when you think about, and it's unfortunate that, you know, easy often can be conflated with convenience, which is why the Amazons of the world, I was going to say there's more than one Amazon. There really isn't. The Amazon has taken over. I mean, it is, we love convenience. We love that, you know, I can go to your website. And if I want to buy, I want to learn how to tap into my intuition, it's there on demand, ready to go. Joan will teach you. I mean, we love ease, but I also think that for some reason, maybe with the industrial era, maybe with probably likely some agenda, we were told that it's about working hard. You have to work hard in order to get play in your life. I know my father definitely came from that worldview. I was kind of installed with that belief. Well, you work before play. You work. And I'm going, yeah, but what if everything is, what, why not go for the thing that feels easy, the calling that you've wanted to do? You want to be a painter, you paint. You want to be a podcaster, do a podcast. It should feel easy. Those are the people that are the happiest in their lives. Curious what your take is on that.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I concur on this level that it should be easy, and that we as humans, you know, we're humans. We live on a 3D world. There's 3D realities we're trained in. 3D constructs of limitation and lack. Okay, what do you mean soul purpose? I want to live my purpose. You know, what if my purpose isn't being, you know, the way everyone else is? So we get trained from birth to conform certain programs. So here's the way I see it these days. We all, most of us, the ones who listen like to me or follow, have our volunteers here on the planet. We saw that it was going to be a mess. We came down here to uplift humanity. However, right, we lose our memory when we get here. And not only that, not only do we lose our memory, but like the forces of dark, the forces of light, actually both sides know who you are. Like they may know Joan of Angels has a mission to wake up the world. Well, what do you think the forces of dark do? They want to make sure you don't wake up. So yeah, a lot of what goes on is you might have parents or friends or family that sort of seem to get in your way or control you in a way that you can't even remember who you are. Plus you get on a planet of forgetfulness, like even the history they've changed. I mean, so much here is hard to fathom.
Yes.
But we call those agents, like agents are assigned to you, Greg, or to me, that are designed specifically to keep you from remembering. Why? Because they know that when you actually remember who you are and you become that light worker that you are, or step into that, which might be just on remembering who you are, that the earth is going to go through its ascension. So we all came down here with that choice of remembering, but it's so difficult because it's not like you're on the street and this person comes up and says, look, Greg, remember the contract you made with me and you made with yourself? And do you realize those people are trying to distract you? You have to get it for yourself. No one else can wake you up to this. When you wake up to it, you go, holy moly. And that's when your life transformation happens. Maybe there's people, places, and things that have actually weighed you down. And you can look back and go, like, I can look back and go, oh my God, they assigned me these parents because that was the only way I would, they assigned me those parents who really did almost take me out, Greg. The food I ate, you know, the chemicals I ate, the low frequency diet, the control by my dad. My parents tied me up at the age of 6 months. They wow. had me on a leash when I was two. So I ran away at three. Just so you know, I don't know one light worker who had an easy life, because they don't want you to have, one side doesn't want you to have that easy life. And so this process of awakening is like being beaten up on earth till you finally get it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's that's a major thing to have to step into. And it's, you know, I suppose at the end of your work, I mean, do you ever get visions of what this ascended planet would look like with everybody pursuing their passions and living to their fullest? I mean, what can we even begin to conceive of what that is? What do you think?
So I have a saying, all is unfolding for the highest good of all. So can you imagine that if we really had a planet that we had the best of foods without chemicals that are designed to hurt you, water without fluoride, sheets and clothing that's not polyester. Do you know that clothing can breathe and that your frequency is determined by what you wear? So, or having schools that truly educate our children into practices like yoga and meditation and self-love and self-awareness and meditation, we'd have as opposed to mandated programming. That is what's happening in our school systems. You know, I always thought the school system was fantastic until now I understand that it's a programming. We are programmed to conform. You know, all these standardized tests take away students' ability to really learn. And who wants to just memorize useless facts that somehow I think are made up anyway? Okay. Or treating illness with health comes from within. As a chiropractor, I learned that the power that made the body can heal the body. Chiropractic can heal your body without worrying about bacteria, viruses, or infections. In the 1900 flu epidemic, people went more to their chiropractors for healing. And when they arrested all the chiropractors, people would come to the jails to get adjusted because they actually credited the chiropractors with helping to stop the epidemic. What they discovered was that things like the masks and the vaccines actually killed people during that epidemic. So we have to reshape what we actually know about our history and about humanity. I'm going to ask them to be a little quieter in there. But does that make sense?
It's awakening's a noisy game. I get it. Whatever they're doing in there. That does make sense. So I suppose then, what is your take on miracles? Are you still into miracles? I know you've written several books about the miraculous and bringing miracles more into your life. I mean, do miracles fit into this trajectory still? And how?
Of course. First of all, it's going to take a miracle to uplift this planet. Because as I started off, I said, it's, you know, what kind of show, you know?
Yeah.
Use that word. I spelled it out, but that's what's going on down here. And it will take a miracle to bring people together. It will take a miracle to heal people, to heal our hearts and minds and bodies and souls. So many people are dying and are ill right now that we need this intervention of divine consciousness, of angelic assistance. Yes, we are in dire need of it as a planet. So when I say we step into the miraculous together, And I do have my Miracle Monday every Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific. We talk about different ways to experience healing or different ways to raise your vibration or different ways to catch that miracle wave. Because when you catch that wave, all the juicy things come. So if everyone started to remember that they were part of this collective awakening of Earth, and maybe all they have to do is raise their vibrational frequency, and that's what they're here to do, or to not get stuck in that 3D horrific environment that sort of takes away our possibilities. Yeah. Unlimited potential for you, Greg, for me, for each and everyone listening here. Yes, and they are standing by ready to assist, just as our guides are, the star families are. Our highest self is, there's a lot of assistance coming, but we have to ask for it. We have to each personally ask for it.
Okay. So what is in your work with people? Do you, what do people usually walk away with? Do they when, you know, if you're doing one of your coaching sessions or a program, do people come away with their entire life purpose? Do they come away with a life purpose that is infused with this call to also ascend others? I mean, what are you in what you've done in your because look, I mean, I know you've activated the masses and people are, like I said, fans of you in the public forum, but when you're able to really zone in on an individual, what are some of the things you see happening?
Well, so it's a great question. I love your interview style. I think you're one of the most perceptive broadcasters around.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
But I will explain. Yeah. So when we start to remember who we are and we have a purpose, your heart starts to sing. When your heart starts to sing, it activates everyone around you. You know, when you're in a room and a dark shadow, a person who's very unhappy walks in the room, you could feel it. When a light person walks in the room, you feel elevated. It's like, oh my God, who is that person? I want to know them. So already the energy is really, really important. Does everyone have to help? Not everyone's here to, quote, assist others, but to ascend, you need to be at least 51% service to others. So we have a choice, service to others or service to self. Service to others could mean just holding that energy every day, remembering who you are. And I teach, so one of the things, in fact, next week, I'm offering a class calling all angels and how to activate and connect with your angelic team and feel their presence and get your messages. So I haven't done this event for 5 or 6 or 7 years, but my guides told me to offer it. So I will send you the links for it if you want, but
yeah,
it's the day after Christmas or the 26th, and it's a call to help people connect, to hear the messages for themselves. So when I work with people, we look at, you know, I call myself the visionary's visionary. Why? Because we first look at what kind of what your calling is, but what the energy of it is. Not exactly what you're to do, but the energy of it and what stands in your way of being that powerful person who can manifest his or her own destiny. So sometimes it could happen in one session. Sometimes it takes a long time, you know, but we clear away what stands in your way of you living a joyful, blissful, and purposeful life, doing you. Doing you sometimes is hard.
Well, I just want to ask, I'm curious, as somebody that, you know, is very fascinated by what blocks others, are there certain trends you notice? Is it often a limiting belief system? Is it a, you know, an energy center, like a chakra blocked off? Could you explain in a very, I don't know, as rudimentary way as possible, what does get people in the some of the commonalities you see of what gets in the way of people going after what they really want to be doing in their lives?
Well, there's nothing in our society that's really geared to uplifting and healing humanity. If you go to the grocery store and you look around, none of that food is really healthy, unless it's like the organic produce. Okay, there's preservatives, chemicals, and all sorts of things in everything.
Yeah.
There's chemicals in the air as chemtrails. There's poison in our water that we drink. God knows, even if you're eating organic, what else has contaminated your fruits and vegetables. So if you step back and you go, oh my God, there's so many false realities down there. There's so much control and it's not a healthy environment. And if I was to energetically look at the frequency of the planet, it's not supporting high frequency consciousness on a daily basis.
Right.
Okay. That's what I can say. And it's subtle because we're used to it. We're used to it. We're used to the blare of television. We're used to these rap songs about raping and pillaging and plummeting and, you know, negativity. We're used to being told what to do with your body. You either do this or you don't, you know? And so much of us is geared towards distractions in the physical world.
Yes.
Or we're sick, rather than asking, how can my body heal from the inside out? We go, what can I take to cover up my symptoms? So we're trained from birth not to be organically alive. And this new trend towards AI, all of this, you know, I call it the matrix, all of this, when I look at people now, I can actually see black, kind of like wires all around them, because some people are so much into, you know, the internet, they're so much into the video games and having these headsets on and connecting to AI, that they literally look like they're connected to the Borg. Okay. People are inadvertently surrounding themselves. They call the mineral is called bismuth. It's like this rainbow crystal. But when it starts to cover you, it energetically creates a thought form around you that actually keeps you oppressed. Okay. And it keeps you in control. And it's almost like connecting to a hive mind. So there is danger with that AI for humanity, because it's, look how many people are addicted to that. And so I can see it in people's fields now, and I'm starting to do work to break free from the matrix, which is an easier way to describe it. So does that make sense?
Yes, that does make sense. We are, that is, I see a lot of people that are just, I mean, you're right, you know, everybody's, it's, transhumanism is already too late. Once they've put the chips in you, once they've made you a robot, it's going, yeah, sure, but also everybody is already fused with their phones already at a metaphorical, and actually not even a metaphorical level, because they're looking at them every day. So yes, it is true. Yeah, I do agree that, you know, there's no question that you don't even need to be a conspiracy theorist to see that people and technology, I mean, look at the economy. Most people, they work in software tech. This wasn't a tangible thing. What if the job force, the workforce, favored building, saving the planet more, helping the environment? The economy would never support that. It does not, those initiatives, you're absolutely right. I can see that. Something big, a lot of bad is happening here right now, for sure.
There is a lot of that happening here, for sure. And so how do you wake people up? Because what happens is, if you're part of this hive mentality, your individualism is being kind of stamped out. If you're an individual, if you say no to the party line, say, then you're a freak, you're a danger to society. So individuals are being stamped out as they're trying to get everyone into more math control. And you know, many studies came out years ago about the lithium that's in the water and in the food to sedate people. So this is not a mystery, it's just about waking up to this reality, going, how do I free myself from this?
Yeah.
You know, how do I be aware that there's a control? You know, Americans too think that we have this illusion of freedom, but do we really? You know, do we really? Well, you get to choose what you're watching on TV, you know, but then you get to choose what you're going to eat or drink, but is all that really good for you?
Yeah.
And that's all, you know, that's a lot to say about that. Now, we agreed to come here to this planet knowing that it was going to be a weird place to be, and that it wouldn't support humanity. We also agreed that we would awaken. We all have activation codes, and I'm hoping that this show becomes your activation. You know, our listeners, each and every one of you, really get this inside and take a look at your world around you. How can we break free of the matrix? Well, look at this picture. I'm back into doing art now. I'm doing a lot of digital art about the interdimensional realms. I started off with angels so people could see angels.
Yeah.
And put them in their home to raise the frequency. Now I've gone into interdimensional frequencies and portals and star beings and transportation devices that are extraordinary, so that we can see it, and then so we can raise our frequency. You raise your frequency by having my sacred art in your house. By the way, I'm going to be releasing it again. But so sacred art, sacred people, incense that raise it, you know, wearing things that make you feel extraordinary and angelic or divine or Scottish king that you look like today. You know, we can wear things and create our environment to truly support yourself in remembering. So I have a little sanctuary. I'm here in Mexico, sharing a house with two guys, okay? Who are guys, real guys, you know, with guy energy. And I have my feminine divine goddess here. And I created my altar here and my incense and put my sacred objects here. And now I have sacred art. And so, you know, kind of wearing my goddess wear. Why? Because then I'm in that energy.
I was going to say, how'd you get here? How'd you get to Mexico in this house?
Great question.
Yeah, well, I need to know this story.
I was in the desert for 7 years.
Yeah.
I knew it was time to leave. I was stuck. Nothing was happening. It was tough. Okay. It was like a hard push, because when you're not in the flow, you know, you're struggling against the current. And I had started working with Neil several years ago, very slowly but steadily. Neil at Portal to Ascension. We began with a cannabis conference because I was in the middle of the cannabis capital and I was doing cannabis art too. And I knew a lot of people in the field. So I helped him with that conference and a psychedelic conference. And then a few months later, he said, well, Joan, why don't you help me put together a Kundalini conference and a Crystal Skulls conference. And then Neil went through his own changes and invited me to come down so we could do some more work together. And we had more work for me to do. Neil was growing. He wanted to do more events and he needed a support team. Team Joan of Angels comes. So that happened about a year ago that we started doing more events together. And I got a call from him and he knew I needed to leave. I was stuck. I was stuck for many reasons. I had no idea where to go. I literally would sit there going, I know I have to leave here. There's mold in the house. I must leave. Where do I go? How do I do this? And I didn't really have the money to do it. So it was a tough time. And I was like sitting in my stuff, get a call from Neil one day. He says, you know, Joan, and he's on his own journey now. He said, I want to be in one place for 3 months. And I'm taking a place in Mount Shasta. I know you don't know where to go. Do you want to come up there? So he literally took a shovel and shoveled me out of the desert.
Wow.
Pried me loose. And the moment, and I knew I was in for the scariest, most exciting adventure of my life. And I also knew that many of my memories would come back of who I am and what I'm here to do. So a little push pull, you know, I was a little afraid. Where do I go? Everything's in storage. Oh my God, you know, what happens? And so Neil actually was the Pied Piper who my guides hired to pry me out and to work with. So now I'm director of productions for Portal to Ascension.
Wow.
And we are creating events around the world. So we're here in Tulum with Alan Steinfeld and Neil from Portal to Ascension, and we are creating together, really exciting. First of all, we're creating a conference in Glastonbury,
wow,
which is my favorite place on the planet, and we are taking two tours to Egypt, okay? And so that's the greatest journey and adventure, to go to Egypt and dive in. And so we're taking two different journeys. Anyone's invited, reach out to me if you're interested. But all of this is very exciting. So I actually know my schedule until next October.
That's great.
The end of next October. And so it's extremely exciting. I mean, but what happened is I said yes.
Yeah.
Okay? I said yes. And that's, I think the best thing everyone could do is when you hear a call And there you have that push pull. It's like, oh my God, what will my mother say? What will my dad say? Holy moly, what do you mean put everything in storage and leave? I'm not telling you to do that. I'm saying say yes to that call. You know, say yes to what your soul is telling you to do, and it will always lead you to what you're here to do. So what are the results? I'm now really feeling more empowered than ever to wake people up to who they are. I'm feeling more alive and more aligned with my destiny. Because why? Because now I work with Neil and I'm regularly on different events and I get to speak all the time. My dream has been to speak around the world. I'm going to be speaking in Glastonbury. I'm going to be speaking in Egypt. Holy Mother of God, you know, wow. If you had told me this a year ago, you know, I would have cried with despair that it would never happen. Like maybe, you know, I wasn't ready. It wouldn't happen until I said yes.
Yeah.
That's how I got here. I said yes.
Wow. Wow. So for all you ladies out there that get invited to live in a house with two strange men across the border, sometimes saying yes is okay. Sometimes it's good. I know you're not, yeah, that's a nice thing to do. Well, these aren't really strange men. These are, I mean, they're men that are into the strange. But Neil Gore and Alan Steinfeld are, you know, great people to have around. And I imagine, I mean, I don't even know. Do you guys sit around and do meditation circles and you know, sit on the ley lines and wake up the energy? I mean, what kind of interesting stuff
yes.
is happening? Really?
So there have been, okay, when we first got here every morning, we chanted, we toned, we set our intention. And Neil and I love having breakfast together. So we take out the computer, we go to the cafe, we work on the spreadsheets. We already have events planned through the middle of 2024. Okay. So we work, you know, we sit down, but we really brainstorm it and it becomes, we're so filled with our purpose. When we got to Mount Shasta, I was given this vision, and it was a remembrance that we had left Atlantis when it was drowning. And I've since seen the drowning of Atlantis and my people. And we were sent out to form something like 99 mystery schools across the planet to save those sacred teachings.
Mm.
And Portal to Ascension has come into being to actually, you know, connect those mystery schools and reach out and awaken them. That's a big part of Neil's work. And my work is to do that and more. Okay. So we're visiting ancient sites and ancient mystery schools because it's an assignment we had in 10,000 or 12,000 years ago to bring back these sacred teachings around the planet. We do talk about that. Some of our conversations are so uplifting, Greg. I literally feel inspired and enlightened and excited enough to do the details, which isn't so exciting. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right. Is the goal to make this stuff even more mainstream? I mean, is that, do we need to, I know it's going to be hard to, I mean, I see things out there. I see, you know, and we've seen these things like Gaia and other, I suppose, alternative history and science channels and streaming platforms and whatnot. And now Graham Hancock has his Ancient Apocalypse show, which was on Netflix, which I thought was a really cool thing to have something with that alternative viewpoint in the mainstream. But also, I don't know who's going to let you do it in the end. How big can you get? Because we know that there are forces out there that don't want people awakening. So, I mean, I don't know if that's what you and Neil and Alan are in a war room strategizing your way you're going to infiltrate consciousness from a different angle. But I do wonder, it is a challenge, and I wonder how you're thinking of addressing it.
You have a devious mind, my friend.
Yes, it is twisted.
You have a devious mind. We are not plotting the awakening of humanity, okay? What we are doing is raising our own vibrational frequency and offering work that allows people to wake up. should they choose to want to wake up and know their starseed origin or know more about ascension or consciousness or ancient history. Now, Graham Hancock, who I love, they're trying to kick him off of Netflix. You know, they're calling it, he's a forbidden archaeologist. He's going against mainstream. And the point is that there's some energy that doesn't want humanity to know who they are. Greg, there is so much we're not being told. And look what they're doing to Graham. They're actually, you know, really trying very hard to get him off. They do that to anyone that speaks the truth. They did that for years for ufologists. They did that for people who were into organic food and GMOs. And they were in that for people who didn't want, you know, medical treatment and want herbs and homeopathy. Now they're removing homeopathy. They're removing your access to supplements. So there's a force there that doesn't want you to remember. You know what? That just makes me want to be stronger. I feel like I'm sort of like a spiritual rebel in a certain way, and that the more they seek to hamper us or tie us down, the more my antenna goes up to break free and raise my own vibrational frequency. I have had chats with higher source and said, I didn't come down here to say yes blindly. And if you, you know, God's on this planet, if you read the Bible, you were supposed to smite, you know, the people that God didn't want. If you remember in Jericho, God told them to smite, you know, Jericho, bring down the halls, torture people. That's not a loving God.
Yeah,
that's a control that's been implanted, you know, imposed on our society. So we come in, and if we can remember, then we hold that light. The more people, like the 100th monkey theory, the more people that hold this light so that it really can shine through, it does spread. It spreads through the darkness. So if a million people heard our show today, Greg, I'm not, you know, telling people what to do. I'm just showing you the possibility. But let's say a million people were listening and we tuned up their antennas so they can raise their light. Imagine what that does to the planet. It raises the light of the planet. It's a simple thing.
Yeah.
And light chases away the dark and closes any dark portals where they could get through. So if we're just tuned in and aware, there's a lot we can do with just from your bedroom, from your meditation. You know, you don't even have to leave your home. Look, even the colors around you are changing. As we're talking, you're brightening up.
Oh, now that is interesting. That is interesting. I mean, you know, you I know one of the things that you're doing is you're constantly developing new programs. I mean, you talked about the team of angels. What is happening with is that related to your new art and soul essence work program you have going on, or do you have other stuff in development too?
Everything is connected. So yes, I've started a program. It's not up online. I have a new website coming, but I call it Soul Essence Work. So we do a deep dive and what you're here to do. And then at some point when it resonates, art will come through that can actually show you who you really are on these other realms. And when you tap into who you really are, and then you have a piece of art like this behind me, how can I ever feel like I'm not an angelic being if I have this art behind
me? Did you draw this virtual background? You drew this?
So digitally created these.
Wow.
So I go into a meditation, and before you know it, I could never tell you how I did it because I don't remember. I'm more or less in a trance zone when this new art comes, and it's all interdimensional. It's all beings from the other side. And many of us have other selves on the other side. And when you can see, when you live on this plane, you're not being celebrated as the goddess or high powered being that you really are. You're in this human body that gets sick, picks up the kids from school, has to cook dinner, maybe has money. Life is more complex here. But when we step back and we tap in, we can see the beauty of where we're at. And shift it from those realms, which we call miracle. Okay. I feel I've stepped into the miraculous coming down here. My energy has changed. I'm fully activated. I've been merging with my higher dimensional self. I'm beginning to look more angelic, feel more angelic, present myself more angelic. I'm just happier.
Yeah.
And people respond. It's like everywhere I go here in Mexico, people are coming up to me. It's like, I don't know if it's my white hair or what.
I was going to say, I feel like it's because you look like Marilyn Monroe right now. That's why I'd be coming after her.
Well,
I
mean, she was gorgeous.
Like, you got this hair. Yeah, my gosh. Just like some like it hot are coming over in here. No, but yeah, I mean, that is interesting. So the people, even the people who don't know you, are responding to your energy.
I was in Tulum the other day at the bank, you know, ATM. And this guy, like, just was so fat. Really, he was a lovely guy. He couldn't stop talking to me. My friend said, Joan, he's like enamored by you. He could see you. We had just done a photo shoot and gotten all these new clothes. And to this photo shoot, I had makeup on. I did look great. But the energy I put out was so powerful that day, everywhere I went, I could tell people saw me. Not me, but they saw this energy. And, you know, wanted to kind of know more. Who are you? What do you do? Wow. You could be that magnet too. It's what you do with it.
Is there going to be a point where you know your work is complete?
The day I leave and I ascend. I'm here to work probably and bring this energy through. You know, my work and I are one. Period. I am Joan of Angels. I am who I am. And when it's time for me to go, they will take me. And they'll take me back home. And until then, I'll probably always be teaching. And because it's not work, Greg. It's my soul. It's what I love to. I do it naturally. I think one of the reasons Neil loves me on the platform is I happen to love people. And everyone who comes on Portal to Ascension all comment how welcome, you know, that feminine aspect,
yeah,
balancing the masculine. You know, I just create that environment wherever I go. I mean, I can imagine on this trip to Egypt, I have this most gorgeous outfit to wear in the temples to do the sacred teachings and to welcome people, you know, and that to me is really fun.
Do you enjoy awakening? Do you find that you awaken the feminine spirit in others?
I don't know, because I don't know that I realized how feminine I must be until recently. You know, when I did my chiropractic office, I had a strong type A drive.
I was going to say,
and
yeah, you sound like a tough broad over here. Yeah, you can be a tough, tough lady when you want to be, as they say.
You know, being tough is okay. Having boundaries is okay. Protecting your energy field. Listen, I had to kick someone out of a conference the other day. Okay. They were violating, you know, they were just a violation. And I finally got to the point where I was like, oh my God, I'm going to kick that person out. And when I got, I was like, I had never had that strong. It was like, they have to go. And
where was this? Was it online or was it in
so
person?
I do have that side.
Was it online? Was it in person?
I'm not even going to reveal it. Not even going to reveal
it. This is the
it
juicy stuff we want. Nope. This is what the crowd, the audience is here for. Who did Joan of Angels kick out?
My the gossip. God.
I know, this is low-level consciousness.
We're not going to lead with that, Greg. That was private and privileged information. That was in saying that, you know, my work is about creating an environment or a field where we can all grow, where we can all feel good. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was going to go to a restaurant or live in a house, I think I'd like this kind of house. You know, I think it would make me feel good. I can imagine, you know, this bed with beautiful sheets and linen and gorgeous food and healthy. You know, my imagination, I'm a Pisces. So my whole life, I've never really focused on what's here. I have always created in my mind another place to be. And maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. Could Joan of Angels be a club bouncer now that she kicks people out of conferences?
Well, Joan of Angels actually used to work in clubs when she was young. Okay, I worked in a bar in Long Island, and
I knew you had
oh my
stories.
God.
You told me there was a before the chiropractic life, there is a tale of who this Joan was. I'm very curious about that. People knew you around
Well,
town?
yes, I lived in a town, lived in a place called the Five Towns in New York, and I worked in a drug rehab center by day. And by night, I would go out to the bar and I'd either waitress or dance the night away. My first night waitressing, I'll never forget, I had to serve a bottle of red wine. I'd
Yeah.
never worked before as a waitress. So I carry this out, and it was a busy club. Someone knocked me over. The red wine spilled over the whole table,
Oh my
over
gosh.
everyone at that table. Not an auspicious beginning. But yeah, no, I had a life where I loved dancing and going to clubs and, playing around with marijuana or other substances at that time. And we all, it's not uncommon for people to have not be such a perfect being as you grow up, because you're having to explore and learn who you are. And
Yeah.
so that is designed to trick you. I could have stayed in that, but my soul felt I needed more. And I was called to go live in an ashram. Suddenly, I went from that life. The next day, hopped on a plane, went to Los Angeles, and moved into an ashram. And from there, I was guided to go to chiropractic school. And from there, I was guided in my practice. And then I was guided further to more teachings and more learnings. And slowly but surely, I became a spiritual mentor or guide. I wasn't born that way, okay? I mean, but I had a background of always liking to help people because I'm an empath. But I wasn't, if you had said, Joan, when you grow up and you're older, guess who you're going to be? Oh, you're going to be Joan of Angels. I would have thought you were nuts.
Right. Yeah,
And
didn't
you
your
sat
daughter
there
give
and
you
was
this
being
name? Your daughter said you're Joan of Angels. She came up with that, right?
No.
Or was it a
My
woman?
daughter said,
Okay.
my daughter's comments to me most of my life were, Mom, do you have to be so different from everyone else? Can't you be like all the other mothers? Now, all of her friends came to me for readings, but my daughter was like, can't you be like every other mother? Well, I guess I couldn't. So I was already uniquely different. But when I moved to the desert, I was told to move to the desert. Here's the truth. I was actually told by a psychic that if I stayed in LA, I would grow and grow and grow, and my work would be really renowned. But I had some channelings that told me I needed to learn and I had to go to the desert so I could hear first. So I went and submerged myself in the desert. On day two or three, I'm taken out for breakfast with a friend of mine from LA, and she was there to visit her friend in Desert Hot Springs in the desert. And we're sitting at breakfast in a busy cafe, not even a cafe, an old-fashioned diner. And this woman named Robin, who I was just introduced to, she goes like this, what did you say your name was? And I went, well, it's Joan. Started to say my last name, Hangarter. And she said, she went like this, stop. And time stood still, Greg.
Wow.
Literally, I couldn't hear anything outside. And she said, I know who you are. Your Joan was really like a slow rollout. Your Joan of. Now, I thought she was going to say Joan of Arc because my entire life, the only heroine I had ever had was Joan of Arc. I wanted to be Joan of Arc. So I thought she was going to say Joan of Arc. She didn't. She said, you're Joan of Angels. She said it. I heard the Hallelujah chorus in my head, and that was it. But it took me 7 years, Greg, to understand who I am.
So your daughter still, in conclusion, just calls you a mom.
Mortified. So a few months
Did she call
later,
you Mom of Angels? No, she's not even giving you that, is she? Mom of Angels,
no,
that would be pretty weird.
sweetheart, Greg. Now I'm trying to experiment with this name, Joan of Angels, because I was embarrassed to tell people my name as Joan of Angels. It's easy to say Dr. Hangarter. It was hard to say Joan of Angels. And I'll never forget, I'm in LA with my daughter, we're in a shop. I now had new business cards and I meet these people and they say, well, what's your name? And I go, well, I'm Joan of Angels. And my daughter goes like this, left bruises on me. Mom, and she was, do you have to lead with that?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think my kids are not like me at this moment, although they both have gifted skills that they haven't come to terms with yet. They're very much in the 3D world, football, sports. In truth, I was a soccer mom when I was raising them. So they're not in the same realm as me at this moment, but yeah. They have their own life path. You know, they have their own path, and somehow God, they asked for a mother like me.
Does that mean that you had frozen ice pops in your car as a soccer mom?
I was a real soccer mom, okay? My son played basketball, volleyball, baseball.
Yeah.
Oh, and gymnastics on horseback. My daughter she tried soccer. She wasn't good at it. She tried baseball, but she was good at basketball, volleyball, and gymnastics on horseback. So I immersed myself in driving them everywhere because I discovered that if I did driving, then I could hear. Kids don't think you can hear them. And they're in the back seat going to a sports game.
Yes.
They don't think you can hear them. So the way to know what your kids are doing is to drive them. And they, you know, they just talk like you're not there.
Oh my gosh. You said I'm the one with the devious mind. What the heck? Yeah. It takes one to know one, Joan of Angels over there. Yeah. You figured out a way of helicopter parenting covertly. It's pretty good. I'm impressed.
But I dedicated my life to that. You know, I enjoyed that life with them. I was a single mom. I created allies in all the sports. And I was a true soccer mom as long as that was required. And the day my son left for college, I went shopping for food for him after, and I cried for a week or two. It was a shock. And then I feel released, you know.
Yeah.
I love my kids, but I'm not going to be with them this Christmas, which is sad, but I'm here in Mexico on my grand adventure. And I have to honor, they have a life path. I have a life path too.
Is this how they're explaining it this year? Are they going, yeah, well, you know, my mom is on her grand adventure. Do they say it with that, or are they, do they understand more? I mean, do they accept you being in a house with two men who are fans of The Strange? I mean, what is the initial reaction when you tell your family members you're doing this?
Well, I don't even give them a chance to really explain. They haven't met Neil and Alan, but they see me on a lot of events with them and they trust their mother. But my daughter freed me where she said, Mom, you don't need to feel guilty. I get it and I understand. Now she lives in London. And I have a trip planned in May. I'll be over abroad. I'll have a few opportunities to see her over that 5-month period.
That's great. Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me this. So I do think it's interesting, this notion, because I don't think I've talked to you about this before. I talked to somebody else about the concept of hypnotizing people and having them access their artistic self more because they're more in tune with their subconscious mind. I think it relates to this artwork you're doing. I mean, I definitely feel that there is when you're looking to go after something that is your life's purpose or what your mission that you're meant to do. Sometimes that can lean a little bit more left brain, a little more linear, a little, okay, now I have to come up with a plan. But I do think it's interesting that when you bring the art into it, it makes it a much more joint consciousness and, of course, higher consciousness experience. You know, I'm curious from, have you run any of these sessions before with people? And if so, I mean, what happens when they're able to depict it in an artistic way? I'm wondering if people discover things about their mission that they didn't even realize until they do the art.
That's very interesting. I haven't done a lot of that, although people are asking me for that. But when people start to free their soul enough to hear, it all starts, Greg, with being willing to listen. I'm willing to bet that you've been shown your soul purpose to you a lot. But it comes as a whisper. And then this whisper might be against what everyone else agrees with. So, for instance, when I became a chiropractor, if my dad had been alive, I would never have become a chiropractor. He would have literally, even though I was, older, he would have like literally humiliated me, shamed me, forbidden me, like discouraged me greatly. So sometimes it's in the timing. It's in what we surround ourselves with, but it starts with this intuitive gift of learning to listen, trust your gut. And not trust your parents, not trust your school, not trust your doctors, your lawyer. There's an intuitive gut we all have. They try to stamp it out of you, but we have it. And I do have classes on my website about that, connecting to the divine, hearing your angels. And right this month, I am recording a new class. It's going to be very intense on activating your soul mission
I was going to
and
ask
waking
about
up.
that. Yeah, what is the soul mission activation proposal? Or is that just like a piece of the broader class? Yeah, I know that
5 sessions.
5 questions.
It's 5 sessions.
Oh, five
So it's a
sessions.
deep dive into activating your starseed memories, activating the memories of who you are and why you're here. It's individual for each and every one of us. But honestly, it starts with saying, bring it on. Bring me these memories. Help me remember. Help me activate. Help me awaken. And doing those things that will do that. And how do you do it? Some people like to meditate. Some people can walk and meditate. For me, I've been training myself over the last 10 or 12 years to understand this whispering I might hear. I used to see it as a choo-choo train, bringing along some piece or object. And
Yeah.
then finally, I got the courage to say that to my client. And they go, oh, how did you know? So it's learning how to confirm what you sense and what you feel. And so, and to remove those blocks from hearing, seeing, or listening. So my upcoming class on really feeling that divine presence and getting your messages and hearing it is really about letting trusting and letting go so you can remove that veil and hear.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell everyone what to do because that's not my job. My job is to free you enough and help heal you enough or allow for your healing so that you can remember because you actually have a mission on the planet through your work, maybe through broadcasting, Greg, that people hear all these amazing people you interview and they get inspired and they go, oh my God, I want to do that, or this is great. You have a soul contract with people to do that, for as long as you say yes to doing that.
Oh wow, she gave me the answer for free. Hey, I'll take it. No. But yes, it makes a lot of that does make a lot of sense. Definitely makes a lot of sense too. I definitely align with speaking to being an orator of sorts and bringing on different perspectives and learning from them and sharing them with others. It definitely it feels easy for me. Therefore, wink wink, angel slap. I probably should be doing it.
Didn't we start off this whole interview or chat with talking about making it easy for ourselves?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? And you're saying that that's easy for you. It's like second nature to you. Listen,
Yeah.
public speaking is second nature to me. Doing shows, doing workshops or retreats or presentations is easy for me. I'm just a
Yes.
natural at it. I wasn't as a kid, by the way. I hid in a closet. I was too shy to show up. But, think about it. It's the things you love to do that are part of your soul purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. maintaining a budget, doing taxes. These are not part of my sole purpose. So anybody out there that, I need the support, anybody. But no, I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, you working with people to help them activate and step into their highest power doing that, I think it's going to be an exciting thing. So I don't know, is your website going to be changed by then? Or, I mean, right now, looks like you can find everything at joanofangels.com. We'll put that link out there for people, joanofangels.com, where you can also, I mean, you've got a 5-minute guide to fulfilling your true calling down at the bottom, too. I love that PDF. It's very fun. Are there any other places people can find you besides, you know, All Portal to Ascension and your YouTube channel? What else do you have out there where people can experience the Joan of Angels power?
This upcoming class is on Eventbrite.
Awesome.
Just put in Joan of Angels. I think I call it Calling All Angels, but it's there. The art is going to be coming up in a month or two. So I have a brand new website. It's going to look very angelic. It will have the art in a few months. It'll have the new class, the Starseed Mission Activation class. So new things are coming. They're not ready yet, but they're coming. And I do my readings. Like, some people like to start with having a soul awakening session, or even I have a Q&A, you know, people like to get to know me. Can she help me?
Yeah.
I just get excited. But, I have a background in counseling. Also, I have a master's in counseling. So I guess I've been like a spiritual doctor forever. You know, I've always helped people fluff their wings, let go of their issues, you know, like just clear your fields so we can get started.
Yes. And what can somebody do to get kicked out of one of your classes? Given that, now that you kick people out,
you are bad.
We need to know. Anything?
You know what?
It's the end of the interview. Nobody knows. No one's listening at this point. Who was it? Who'd you kick out of this conference?
Sorry about that, Greg, but you do not get to hear those things.
She's good. You're a New York woman. You're holding on to you're holding on. I appreciate it.
I'm a doctor. We have professional confidence required, always keeping confidential secrets. And one of the things that make me a great oracle is that I actually don't remember people's problems, although they insist on telling me them all. And they just go into a collective reservoir so that the next time I'm with them, I might remember. But you know, that's my gift, is to be able to do that. I create, and I'm going to have a group upcoming. So one of the things that I'm going to be doing is having a membership group twice a month that we can tap into, and taking you through your soul purpose or healing or what, you know, stepping into the miraculous, whatever is up that month. And really, honestly, no one's, my groups usually are people who want to really dive in, connect, heal, and be inspired, and connect with their guides. And those are and who want a better life. I had this man come a few years ago. I had this event in my house, and he was the only man in the room. And the woman who invited him didn't show up. Okay, and he's sitting there. He goes, "Oh my God, I don't know why I'm here. She's not here. I'm the only man here," and he was feeling a little intimidated. So I go into this group process, and we call in the angelic realms and our memories, and you know, I take you on a guided tour of these realms. And he comes back, and we're going around the class after, and he's crying. Big man like you, breaking down and crying. He said, "Oh my God," he said, "I was shown that vision of when I was in Vietnam, and we were surrounded by enemy fire." And he said, "An angel came, and I was the only person that survived that." He said, "An angel came and protected me." Now, I've heard other stories. I interviewed a man by the name of Michael Jaco a few months ago, and he talked about when he started to connect to this love in his heart. And he's also in the field in Vietnam, and he's about to step on a mine, and he knows he's about to die. And the next thing, all he does is he goes into his heart and he radiates love, radiates love, radiates love. And then the next thing he knows, that it was diffused. And they were saved and it didn't go off. And I have another dear friend who I saw one day. We were talking, beautiful man who's a close friend of mine, and I saw all these angels around him. And sure enough, that's what had saved him in Vietnam also. So honestly, Greg, that even men connect with the angelic realms, even men have angelic experiences and miracles that can save their lives.
Yeah. No, and well, look, that's a very cool message. Everybody, again, check out Eventbrite, type in Joan of Angels or joanofangels.com. The final question I have for you, and I think this will be an Open Loops exclusive if you tell the truth about this. Did the angels guide you to digitally create the Donald Trump NFTs? Did you do it? Trump as a superhero painted. Is Joan of Angels behind the new Trump superhero graphics?
That's hysterical. You know, I saw those graphics and they're very amazing and outstanding. I have nothing to do with them.
Nothing? Would you admit it if you were? I don't know.
If I was behind those, I'd be very proud of it. You know what? Whatever work I do, if I was guided to support this person or that person, I usually keep that private because in today's world, you know, it's like be like everyone else. I have my own stuff. But, you know, if I was painting that art, my name would be on it. And it wouldn't have been so, it would have been much more angelic. I would have put wings behind him or wings behind the presidents because I know that is the realm.
Is Donald Trump an angel?
You know, you ask some tough questions.
I don't know. I'm not sure you're allowed to say his name in Mexico.
You know, I think he's come here with a divine mission and inspired to do his work and maybe misunderstood, maybe understood. There's people who love him. There's people who don't. I feel like he's here to do a mission and that's his mission. And if you feel called, then he's the one for you.
Did you ever see him in your clubbing days?
Are you kidding? We would never have lived in the same environment. But you know what? I had a hairdresser who used to do his ex-wife, Ivanka, and her daughter. And so he would tell me when he did my hair about personal stories about Trump that turned him into a very nice being.
Interesting.
That made him seem really as a real person, as opposed to his persona.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting. I know. Now I just want the celebrity gossip. I feel you know some juicy things, Miss Joan of Angels.
I live a simple life.
We got to learn it all. I'm waiting for the tell-all book. I'm excited for it. This has been an amazing interview, Joan. I always love having you on. You're such a fascinating character in this space. Truly, truly inviting, truly energetic. You know, I can almost see you being like an acting teacher, the way you gesture. It's, that's another path. Consider that. You're activated. So, yes, I am grateful for you coming on, and I'm excited to see what mission you follow next in your next couple years. I mean, it's really been quite a journey so far. So, I'm excited to see more.
Look at all this light sparkling around me. It's the sun coming in the window, but isn't that funny? Look, kind of angelic as it glows.
I know.
So, you know, over the next few years, Greg, I am going to continue to travel around the world, activating people around the world, helping people restore their ancient memories so we can actually truly live the life that human beings on this planet are entitled to, and free us from a certain enslavement that really keeps us trapped. And yeah. I think that's a very exciting mission. And if any of your listeners feel called to reach out and join us, that would be wonderful because planet Earth needs all the help it can get.
Absolutely. Hey, send my love to Neil. Send my love to Alan. Send my love to Neil. And yeah, I'm again, thank you so much for coming on. This has been great.
It has been fantastic, Greg. So guys, thank you so much. And I really appreciate all of you. And I will see you all next time.
Sounds great.